welcome to Africa Now. We're coming to you this week from South Africa's Union Buildings, where the government and presidency are housed in the capital city, Pretoria. There's a lot of excitement here about the fact that South Africa will soon take over chairmanship of the trade association BRICS. This organization was set up to promote bilateral trade platforms between member states, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, as an alternative to historically Western trade monopolies. So what exactly is South Africa's vision for BRICS for the next 4 years? Well, to answer this question, I caught up with Pravin Maharaj, the chairman of the Trade BRICS Association.
We would expect our government to present Africa as a worthy continent for investments. I think that'll be quite a huge topic on the agenda. Investments in South Africa, investments in Africa, and looking at how we could see more Russian, Chinese, Indian investors, the ASEAN countries coming into the continent. So I think much trade discussions, much investment opportunities will unfold. And I'm sure the areas of renewable energy and technology will also feature very prominently on the agenda of the BRICS chair, South Africa, in 2023.
What does it mean for South Africa?
It means a lot for South Africa. It also means immense for the continent of Africa. So when South Africa takes over as chair, it will carry the cap and aspirations of 1.2 billion Africans. So when it looks at its agenda, it would look at the interest of South Africa and how South Africa can play a pivotal role in pushing an African continental agenda. So South Africa from there would expect investments. I'm sure we are going to be looking at technology. We'd look at new forms of infrastructure investments. South Africa is lucky in the sense that it has developed a diversified economy. So it's a very good base to bounce from and get into Africa. So I sense South Africa as a vehicle into Africa is phenomenal. I think we will be looking at how we could play a role, facilitate that role in Africa.
We see more and more countries wanting to join BRICS. Is this actually going to happen? Will BRICS allow other countries in?
Saudi Arabia wishes to join BRICS. Argentina, you've got Iran, and you've got other countries that are looking at the BRICS countries. That's going to be a good thing. If they come to the party, it means a strengthened BRICS. I think we'll see a greater diversity across the world. We'll see a more balanced power emerging. Especially in the global south countries, investments would flourish, and it's something that I would certainly like to see happen.
Do you think the fact that we're seeing more applications to join BRICS is an indication that more and more countries are trying to move away from a US-centric financial basis, for example, the World Bank, the IMF?
Personally, I don't think that they want to move away, but they would want more options. So I sense that if we have a more competitive playing field, that will be great. I like the vision of the United States that's called for an open, fair economic world. And in that fair playing, we'd like to see BRICS also emerge with the solutions that will compete with other bodies like the World Bank, etc. So I think that'll be a big advantage for developing countries, especially when you have choices that you can make that will ensure that the interest of the people are first at heart. And if we can have a competitive suite of solutions coming out of the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, the BRICS countries, etc., then Africa will welcome that.
But wasn't BRICS initially established because it was seen as some kind of alternative, I don't know if that's the right word, but a bringing together of the BRICS countries on an economic basis to provide an alternative to, for example, the European and the American-dominated markets. So the fact that more and more countries want to join BRICS, doesn't that seem to suggest that there is a turn away on the international stage from those more traditional powerful countries, America, Europe, and people moving towards countries like Brazil, Russia, Africa?
my view would be is not that they want to move away. I don't sense that we can forsake one body for the other. But I think to address in that mosaic or suite of solutions that come our way in developing countries, the challenges that we faced in that era is something that the BRICS can address. So if we can smooth the way for greater investments, but more important, we'd like to see a continent that is powered by the small, medium enterprises. And what are the impediments that prevents the renaissance, an economic renaissance amongst the small, medium, micro? We have almost a trillion, some reports stress that we have $1 trillion US dollar informal economy. They need to be banked. So how do we bring in solutions that will be favorable to them? Up until now, we didn't have a solution. So by the introduction of the BRICS countries and the evolution of the BRICS countries, and hopefully that they're talking about a currency that may emerge, that would be beneficial to Africa, to small businesses, to medium businesses, then we are activists there. We would love that. Nothing would please us most if we have access to finance that will be able to finance intelligent minds across Africa so that we can distribute economic wealth, bring about prosperity for the people of Africa.
If we look specifically at Russia, what can Russia contribute to Africa? Because, of course, we're talking about Africa.
Russia is a world leader on many fronts, and it can share its knowledge. It can share its technology. It has one of the world's largest oil and gas reserves. It can bring perhaps better value, better rates to Africa. So the role of Russia must be like any other investor in Africa. It must be given a fair right to invest on all fronts. And we would love to see, for example, the tourism sector is crying out for new forms of revenue through tourism. And we'd love to see an increase in tourists from Russia. We would definitely roll out the red carpet for Russian tourists to come and visit.
If these countries land up joining BRICS, do you envisage a time that the name BRICS will change?
Well, it's something that, interestingly, something that we are talking about amongst ourselves, because our companies trade BRICS, and we look at a balance of trade from the BRICS countries as well as the EU countries and the Americas. So the name BRICS itself, possible that it may become BRICS Plus, or it will become something like the G20. I'm not too sure, but definitely I sense that with more countries, there possibly would be a change. Not necessarily the name BRICS may drop, but it may just become BRICS Plus. That's my personal view. It's not a political view.
If you have a scenario that more members are joining the bloc, what will be the way, or how are you going to balance the many interests that now you have perhaps different views from different countries in terms of driving BRICS forward?
Well, is that not what democracy is all about? So you may differ in a vertical and an area, you entrench differences. Yet on other fronts, you could have collaboration. So there should be healthy competition. There should be collaboration. There should be visions coming together to promote the common goodwill of the world. So definitely the BRICS countries do have a place to play. They have more synergies rather than challenges. And I think sensible men will sit around a boardroom and resolve differences. The world is big enough for 8 billion people.
What would you say are the main challenges going forward? I'm thinking specifically now that part of the challenges that could be facing the bloc in the future would be to ensure foreign policies connect to the actions of the governments that are involved.
BRICS governments, again, as I say, their core focus is trade. Their core focus is to smooth the way for investments in their country. Their core focus is to bring peace, prosperity, economic activity across the BRICS countries. Africa is represented by South Africa. And we would need to evaluate the needs of Africa We need to look at where economic prosperity has not been taken to, and how can Russia, for example, converge with the AFTA, the African Free Trade, Continental Free Trade Area, and bring about solutions that will reach and improve lives in areas that we could not reach before. So for me, that is central. That's what we should drive the BRICS agenda from a geoeconomic perspective.
What are the challenges you face?
The challenges is that I think at first we would have to resolve these major global issues that are gripping the world. One of them would be in COVID. The other one would be economic activities, the war between Russia and Ukraine, and the speedy resolution towards a peaceful outcome will be welcomed by Africa. We definitely would love to see a peaceful resolution. Russia has a major role to play in the world. As I say, it has solutions that the world looks for. And for us, a peaceful resolution between challenges that gripped us for the last decades, if we find resolution there, the world will be a much better place. I sense that there is a place for everyone. In a competitive world, the best will thrive, and those who are challenged will continuously improve to provide solutions that they can compete with or against.
Well, as we heard, there's a growing number of countries that want to join BRICS, among them Nigeria, who is in competition with South Africa for Africa's biggest economy. Now, for years, analysts in Nigeria have argued that that country, and not South Africa, should be part of BRICS. And they point to the fact that there are more than 200 million people living in Nigeria, and the country boasts a fast-growing and vibrant manufacturing industry. South Africa, on the other hand, has a much more regulated financial services sector, which may give it the edge. Well, to discuss this further and whether or not the name BRICS should become BRINCS, I'm joined now by the CEO of the South Africa-Nigeria Chamber of Commerce, Diane Gaines. Diane, thanks so much for joining us here. Do you think that BRICS could become a viable alternative to the European Union?
It's already a block of some economic heft, and you're looking at some of the biggest economies in the world. And I think that there's no doubt that it will be, if you're looking at it as a competition, that it would be a competitor in terms of size, of its economic weight, and of its influence, certainly across the South block, but also beyond that.
Diane, is it the right time for Nigeria to join BRICS?
Well, now that the door seems to be open to other countries joining the BRICS block, I definitely think Nigeria should be would be a player in this regard, and it should be something that government should consider is looking to see what the criteria might be for joining this growing block. The unfortunate, the timing at the moment is not good because Nigeria is going into quite a difficult election, difficult in the sense of it being highly contested between different parties. And so it's unlikely, it'll have to depend on what the winning party feels about the direction for Nigeria and its foreign policy going forward. But certainly historically, Nigeria has been a significant player in the Africa space, far more so arguably than South Africa, in terms of its kind of military might, its role in addressing conflicts on the region, and generally as a superpower, if you like.
If there was to be a new government in Nigeria, do you think they would support joining BRICS?
I think that any party that wins election in Nigeria will certainly weigh up as an important decision like this to some extent. I don't think they would jump into it straight away. But I think that in no way means that they wouldn't consider it. The benefits are there for everyone to see in many ways, in terms of the amount of the increased trade between BRICS countries, maybe formalizing the ties that already exist between Nigeria and other African countries and some of the BRICS members, particularly India and China. So, you know, those relationships have grown even outside BRICS. I think that countries like Nigeria don't need to rely on being part of BRICS to have India and China as among their main trading and investment partners.
Diane Games, the CEO of the South African Nigeria Chamber of Commerce, thanks so much for joining us. Well, what do people in Nigeria think? We took to the streets of the capital, Lagos, a city of 25 million people, and asked whether Nigerians think they should be given a seat at the BRICS table.
If we had taken the time to join, if we're serious-minded people, we have our plans in front of us, where we're going, what we're going to be able to do with membership. There are reasons why people join these things. There are things that, what are the comparative advantages that we have over South Africa? Population. What else? The sheer size of our population is a major reason why Nigeria will always count.
In as much as Nigeria prides itself as the biggest economic group in Africa, but most of us know that when it comes to economy, South Africa is where we are ahead of Nigeria in all spheres that you can use to measure. So it would be good, it would have been better, and it would have been good, and it would have benefited Nigeria more if they're part of that group. Don't forget the fact that the most nations of the world are walking away from the European and the Western countries, especially when you see what is happening and what China is doing. First and foremost, China is doing so much. China is the second most biggest economy in the whole of the world, and that is estimated that in the next 20 years it will even surpass America. And China is doing a lot within the developing countries, and especially Africa. If you look at infrastructure development, if you look at the area of commerce and the rest of them, and you look at volume of trade, you cannot match what China is doing to the United States or any of these European countries. And for that, it looks more attractive.
South Africa was just brought in because, of course, you can't compare the Nigerian economy to the South African economy. Technologically, they are way ahead of us. Digitally, they are way ahead of us. It's a block of countries that have a good idea of where they're going. Do we know where we're going at the moment? I doubt it.
There's a lot of discussion in BRICS about whether the countries should introduce a single currency. But after the failure of the European Union, new proposals are being put forward. One of them is introducing cryptocurrency, as the chairman of the Trade BRICS Association explains.
We would love to see a currency, especially like crypto, that will be able to reach businesses in greater places across the continent. And we sense that crypto can achieve that. And it's an open ledger, so you know who we're dealing with. And if governments begin to regulate it, and I know South African government just a few weeks back announced cryptocurrency as a financial product. So when all of these initiatives come together, and with India has got rupee and the digital yuan in China, etc., I sense that when all of this comes together, we will have a solution on the table that will cost businesses less.
The first country in Africa to introduce cryptocurrency is the Central African Republic. A former colony of France, its banking system is controlled by Paris. It cannot send or receive payments from abroad unless it gets the nod from France. The Republic's minister driving the initiative explains why he believes other African countries will soon follow suit.
So President, he was looking for a solution to now develop the country for the population and for the government also to benefit to the development of the country, to open our country to different people, different partners who can be ready and able to invest in the country, but also for us to be in capacity also to use our money to buy things outside. And now with the cryptocurrency, the cryptocurrency and the crypto revolution, it's a solution. A solution for us to, with the crypto money now, to use a way now to invest outside and for people to invest also here. With the cryptocurrency revolution, you can write your project and on a white paper, they used to call it white paper, you can put it on the blockchain. And now all the people all over the world in the blockchain can put directly money on your project. And before it was difficult to raise money, because before you had to go in a bank, you have to perhaps see some organization to raise money to develop your project. And also it was difficult to also to raise money because the banking system was not good and we were not allowed to receive money from country like China or Russia or some country like this. And we've got many partners in Russia and in China. Many people are already interested to invest in Central African Republic. We are working very hard to implement a very good network and now to digitalize all the country. But for that, we need money. And this money, we have to raise it. And now the cryptocurrency, it's also a solution to raise this money on the blockchain. And it's for that we can say, also for the problem of energy and the problem of internet, the solution is a cryptocurrency, because the cryptocurrency, we can raise money to finance the development and the digitalization of the country and the implementation of different energy projects.
Support for the Central Africa Republic's innovation in introducing cryptocurrency is coming from further afield than just Africa. The Russian ambassador to CAR is excited about the prospect.
I'm here, I love this country really, and I'm quite impressed because I see lots of things I've never expected. For example, that new ambitious project about the crypto coin. According to the official classification, it's a low income state. At the same time, it's a member of sub-regional currency and economic commonwealth with their very strict rules. And yet they launch crypto money by combining the expertise in IT with finances. Why? Because I think that this country is very talented, lots of potential. The government, the ruling team, is also very professional. The financial diplomacy of this country as a part of general national diplomacy is very effective.
Well, that's it for now. We'll continue to keep our finger on the pulse of Africa and bring you stories that are often missed or ignored by other networks. Until we meet again, from myself and the team here on the tip of Africa, goodbye.